I stood up after getting hit by a car, brushed myself off, and said, let's go. Lightning came right to me. I just stood there. It didn't even faze me. Your will to fight has to be stronger than to give up.
That's incredible.
I had a heart attack, metallic colored wires coming up out of my skin, fibers, grains of rice, putting me on chemo. Itself almost killed me. It kept trying to kill me, but it could not.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey, friends. It's Dan Duvall gearing up for another extraordinary conversation. As we get into it, just know a few line items. DanDuvall.com is the home of the Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall podcast, where you can become a podcast patron and support what's happening here. Be sure to check out OvercomerAccelerated.com if you are on a healing journey and you want support and additional help. And the ministry website is found at BrideMovement.com. Let's get started. We're back on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall, and I have brought back my friend Lindsay for a round two on her extraordinary testimony. We left off the last time she was here with a bit of a cliffhanger. Not something that those of you that have been following this podcast are unaccustomed to. We love cliffhangers here at Discovering Truth. Lindsay, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
The last time you were here, we talked through a whole number of fascinating aspects of your story. You talked about artificial wombs. You talked about elements of your background as having been subjected to satanic ritual abuse, government projects. And one of the fascinating aspects that you mentioned towards the end of that, and by the way, for those that haven't already heard part one, you need to listen to part one, like now, and then come back to part two. But we're going to pick up right where we left off,
okay.
which is on the subject of being a targeted individual. And you said that, look, I had technology embedded into me when I was in an artificial womb. And that technology had implications. In fact, you went through Morgellons, among other things.
Yes.
So let's talk about the inception of the physiological attack on your life and the various things that you went through and how you believe that was connected to technology.
So it started, my health just really started going downhill. I was always a very healthy person. I barely ever even got headaches.
How old were you when the health started to go downhill?
In my early 30s.
It was early 30s. So you were already married,
mm-hmm.
already had some children.
Yeah.
And, you know, in our last episode, we talked about how they were targeting you.
Yes.
Trying to get you to make a move.
Yes.
You overrode that.
Yes.
And in here in your early 30s, now this starts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And from the targeting until when in the technology, it was like within the same year. So it was very quick. When I didn't go back and leave and go back to Reno like they wanted me to, it was bam. Well, this is the next thing that we've got up our sleeve that we're going to do. So my health really started going downhill. First, it started with I would get real achy, and I would feel like knots kind of underneath my skin and my shoulder, and I always felt like there was something there,
like
that needed to come out. And I would even feel wet. I would have Wes look at me like, "Is there something there? Is there something that's got to come out?" And he's like, "No, I don't see anything." But I started getting spots on my skin as well. And they wouldn't heal. It started on my face. I got a couple. So I went to the doctor. I was like, I don't know what this is. Like, it won't heal. So, of course, she wanted to do labs. And then she's like, well, we'll send you to a dermatologist. The first one they said, you know, was artificial light or superficial skin cancer on my face. They just burned it off. But then it came back. They had to burn it off again. And then I started feeling movement inside of, like, my back by my spine. It felt like things were, like, wiggling, like, around by my spine and in my back, like, floating around and moving. And I would tell Wes, like, I feel like there's something in my back. And but there was no explanation for it, so I just kind of dealt with it and got over it. And then I started getting more sores on my arms. It started off kind of slow, but they wouldn't heal no matter what I put on them. It just would not heal. So my doctor, again, sent me back to the dermatologist. They started doing biopsies on them, the punch biopsies. Every single one would come back as an unknown specimen or unidentified. So it was getting very discouraging because I did not know what was going on. And there was no answers. I started having issues with my gallbladder. I had to go. I got rushed to the emergency room so they could check my gallbladder because I felt like it was like going to rupture if it did. Of course, they didn't have the machine to do an ultrasound on it, which I am thankful for that because I do believe they would have taken it. And at this point, I'm thankful that they did not take it. So, but I told the nurse not to give me any type of medication because I do not do well with pain medication. It makes me very sick. She did it anyways. And so that was my experience starting right then and there with the medical system. So she did it anyways. I left feeling worse than when I got there. So it just continued to get worse. It was that. It was I would have problems with, like, my kidneys hurting, massive migraines. I would start getting really bad migraines. It was getting to the point where I was sick more than I was healthy. My mother-in-law started getting mad because we were missing family things because I was sick, again, to where she thought I was faking it. Also, like, my problems with my ovaries, like, everything. Like, if every system of my body was starting to give me some type of an issue. And then the sores continued. They ended up putting me on chemo for skin cancer I did not have. The doctor that I first seen, she ended up actually quitting. She wasn't there anymore. And at first, when that was happening, I was like, really? What, you're just going to quit when you're supposed to be helping me? But now I know it's her conscience got to her because they knew exactly what were in those skin samples that they were getting that kept coming up as unidentified.
Can I ask you a question before you continue the story? Have you ever had challenges with requesting your personal medical records?
I actually have never tried it.
Oh.
But we did one time have to get them transferred from, because all of it is on the military base. But I've never tried to actually get them from the, like, civilian hospitals, like from Reno or... Now, my dad was easily able to access and get certain things of stuff for me.
Oh.
But it's stuff that I never... He just did it for me instead of me doing it.
Okay. Back to your story.
So I knew that her conscience got to her because even at one point she suggested giving me, like, an anti-parasitic cream as well. And I was like, what is she talking? Like, to me, it was just weird. Like, I was just like, what is she talking about? So I did the chemo, continued to just get worse, more sores. The chemo in and of itself was really starting to break down my immune system even more. That itself almost killed me. I knew I had to quit taking it. And then after... got off of the chemo, I ended up getting cellulitis in one of the spots where I was putting the chemo on the open wounds. So I go into the hospital the day after Christmas because I had a huge – I look like the humpback of Notre Dame. Like, it was huge on the back of my neck, and it was so painful, but I had to push through. And I have very high pain tolerance. So I was able to push through the pain of that until the next day. The doctor, it was on post. He was really mad that it got that far when I told him about everything. And I had just previously seen the dermatologist the day before, and he didn't care about what was going on. So he made a referral for me to go see the dermatologist on post. And I was so excited. I felt like I was going to actually finally get somewhere, some type of help. I go in to see the dermatologist. Now, I have my whole, like, my arms covered in these huge sores. And I have the scars all over from it. I walk in. She sees me, looks at me, and says, "You're doing this to yourself." And at that moment, I didn't even sit down. I didn't even have a chance to sit down. And I knew right then and there what she was doing. She was trying to get me put in to the psych ward, that I was harming myself.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I'm not going back to another mental institution. I mean, I didn't even say anything to her. I just walked in, and that's what she said to me. And it was right then and there. I walked out in tears. I was so mad, so upset, and just, like, felt like I had no hope. Like, this was just how it was going to be for me. And I told Wes, I said, I'm just going to do it God's way. And it's so funny because I didn't know any of this stuff. You know, I just would say these things that I didn't even know, and I would just do it. And so I started looking into, like, the natural, like, healing for stuff. It went into me thinking that I had food allergies, or I needed to do a detox or cleanses, but everything I would do, it just, like, everything got worse. It just kept getting worse. Nothing got better. I was always in so much pain, and I felt bad because I could barely spend time with my children. And then I started having things coming out of my skin, out of the holes. And even at this time, my dosage of Adderall kept getting upped, and even a booster dose during the day. And it seemed like, now when I sit and think about it, the Adderall with the technology, it was like building upon each other with it. Like, it was working together. And
wow, that's so interesting. I mean, you experience it as though they were working together. Okay, I'm gonna leave that alone. Just continue.
And so it was like my body was starting to purge, trying to purge the technology.
Yeah.
Which I know that there are some people that doesn't happen with them. But at that point, I didn't even know what was going on or what I had, or that it was even a possibility to have technology in the body. So I started having what looked like little iridescent, metallic colored wires that look like coming up out of my skin, like fibers. And so I would go and show Wes and be like, I don't know what this is, or like grains of what looked like grains of like rice would come out of some of the holes.
How painful was that?
It was very painful. But it was even just that alone, that it was painful. It was, at the time I didn't know it, but I was also getting hit by direct energy weapons. So at times I would feel like my whole body on the inside was on fire, or like my head could just explode. Or certain parts of my body would get hit and targeted, and I would like have horrible pains where I would like hunch over. Like, it was almost like it would like paralyze me, you know, right then and there. But as this just continued to get worse and worse, Now, it seemed like the times when I would run out of my Adderall and I would have to take a couple days off of it, it was very, very hard because of the addiction to it at that point. But it would seem like my skin would it would calm down some.
Oh.
And that's why I said it was like it was working together, because when I would get back on it again, it would start, more stuff would start like purging from my skin. I was looking up at different things of what it could be online. Of course, I came across parasites. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, do a parasite cleanse. You know, look at all the different things to try and do parasite cleanses. I mean, we spent, I don't even know how much money and all of this natural stuff to try and help some stuff. It would be like I would get a little relief, but then it would just be right back to the holes would open up again. My blood was like jelly and stringy. It wasn't even like regular blood. It was getting to that point. And once I started looking more online, I started coming across stuff that was like more gallons. Mm-hmm. Because I was looking up, I started doing more specific searches because of the things that were coming out.
Yep.
And that's when I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this? When it started talking about technology, and they were telling people, do not go to the hospital saying that you have this. They will lock you up. They don't want you to know you have it. So I'm sitting here like, what is going on? Like, I don't know anything about the government, nothing. You know, there's that whole false reality
overlay. False reality overlay.
And, you know, and right then and there, everything just started kind of falling apart. And I started doing more research into it. This is kind of where I started questioning things and asking God. I wanted the truth, like what's going on. And that's where we started learning about the government, about all of the false programming, religious programming, of everything being not true, the lies, like everything was just starting to fall apart in our lives.
This is when you became a truther.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
You, no, but not alone. You and Wes is your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Together went into this.
Yes, and poor Wes, like truly, like I sit and think, because like I would come to him and he's just minding his business and I'd be like, do you know what? Can you believe this? And he's just like looking at me, but he would look into it. Like he didn't call me crazy. He would genuinely look into it, and then he'd be like, wow, you know. So both of us started on this journey of learning the truth. And I mean, at one point learning everything, we had nothing to say for like 2 days. Like we just could not talk. Like we were just in shock of how everything we thought was isn't.
My goodness.
And so started learning about that, trying to find out as much information as we possibly could. And then I had a moment where we were outside and we were with our kids, and we knew some storms were rolling in, and we knew that we had enough time, so we were going to start helping get them, because they were still very young. Well, as I went to go step out onto the street, there was a lightning strike, right as I put my foot down, and I was barefoot. That lightning came right to me. Stopped me in my track, went through. I felt it travel through my body, up my leg, like up my arm, across, and then back out. And it just came from nowhere. And the crazy thing about it is, like, I just stood there. It didn't even faze me. I just said to Wes, I think I just got struck by lightning. And he just looked at me, and my hands were like purple and on fire, my feet, and my heart was racing so fast, like so fast. And just stood there, like collected myself and just kept going. Like it was no big deal.
Wait. So you have more gallons.
Mm-hmm.
All this other trauma,
mm-hmm.
direct energy weapons. I'm just going to take a lightning bolt.
Yes.
To the leg and, like, just keep walking around.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
Now, I'm going to have to ask you about super soldier programming in a second, okay?
Yeah.
But we're just going to finish this line of day. I mean, you're kind of hardcore.
Yeah.
Okay. So you survived a lightning strike.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
in fact, I would like to say the lightning strike survived you.
Yes. It was powerful. I could not move. Even if I wanted to, I could not. Like, it just stopped me in my track. So once I was able to go again, I hurried, got the kids back inside, and I kind of just sat and was like, that was crazy, you know? But the next day, I actually had an appointment to see my doctor to get more Adderall.
Oh.
And I mentioned to the nurse, like, I kind of got, you know, struck by lightning indirectly. And she just looked at me, and she was like, did you go to the hospital? I said, no, I'm fine. She's like, you know, that could have blew out, like, your heart and everything. She's like, do you know how lucky you are? And I'm sitting there thinking, like, do you know how many times I've heard that in my life? Lucky I am to have survived something. And so there was that. So these weird things, you know, that were happening in my life. And then when I discovered that it was technology, and I started looking a little bit more into what do I need to do to get rid of it. Deliverance, you know, I'd heard about deliverance. I didn't know much about it. Spiritual warfare. The most I learned when I was in Bible school, spiritual warfare was to rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the extent of my spiritual warfare. And basically, we don't focus on it, because if you focus on Satan and demons,
yeah.
then you are welcoming them into your life.
Wow.
So learning that, and at the same time, you know, having other believers telling me that God is punishing me, which just was reinforcing other programming that I had, that God already hated me. So, you know, I would ask God, like, if I'm doing something wrong, can you tell me? I will stop. Like, please let
mm-hmm.
me know
mm-hmm.
What I'm doing wrong to deserve this. That was still my thinking. And so I just continued on just learning what I could. And I had talked to another friend. I had gotten onto some Facebook groups. Some Bible prophecy ones and some other spiritual ones. And I met a girl that was very in tune with, like, the spiritual realm, and she actually came out of New Age and everything herself. And I was kind of explaining some stuff to her about what I was going through, and she's like, well, it sounds like you need deliverance. And I'm sitting there like, deliverance? I don't have demons. Like, I'm a Christian. We don't have demons. And so I told her, I was like, why would I need deliverance? I was so offended, like, so offended that she even suggested that I would need deliverance. So, but I sat and I listened to her, and she was like, well, you know, there's stuff there that everybody needs some type of deliverance. And I was like.
Now, when she said that, some of the thoughts, like, two guardians following you around and all these, you know, encounters in the spirit world that you mentioned in our first conversation, all that. None of that came to mind. It was just, how dare you?
Yes. Yes.
Can I just say at this juncture, and I really have to say this. I have found that some of the most staunch opponents to the conversation around deliverance, deprogramming, and inner healing come from people that need it the most.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, and truly, it's the programming in them itself rearing up against that. Also, the truth, like the whole truther movement, some of the most staunch critics of it are the ones that are involved on the other side maintaining a false reality overlay, or have programming to maintain their own internal false reality overlay. And the reaction is protective. Don't touch the programming sitting inside. You need to keep your truth on the other side of my fence. Thank you very much. So, okay, please continue.
So I was kind of thinking about it more and what she was saying, and I was still like, you know, I take it to Wes and be like, so this girl said I need deliverance. Wow. Like, I thought Christians can't have demons. Like, I was told we can't because Jesus wants to, you know, like all of the things that I heard. But at the same time, I was like, okay, so if that's the case, then what do I do? So I started looking into it more. Because I'm one of those people, even though if it sounds crazy, I'm still going to keep it right there in the back of my head. And I'm going to look into it out of just pure curiosity. So I kind of started looking more into it. And from what I was coming across and found, I was like, okay, it sounds like I'm a targeted individual with this stuff. Because it went from saying I had the mark of the beast to, like, you know, just all this crazy stuff and the targeted individual stuff. And then I thought back about what happened previously with us. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, yeah, that sounds exactly like what I was dealing with. And so I had to figure out, like, how to get rid of the technology. And I started learning about cleansing the bloodline, generational curses. I was like, okay, I can, you know, I'll do that. So I started kind of doing that. It was still just continued to get worse. And it was 2016. We were out in our pool, and I was like, I was in so much pain. And for the first time I ever heard God's voice so clearly, he told me that he was going to heal me and he was going to deliver me. And he did not say when, he did not say how, but he said that he was going to do it. And I just took him at his word. And I think it was because I knew that was the first time I heard his voice so clearly and knew without a shadow of a doubt that it was him. And so I know that that was done too because it gave me something to hold on to. Because as I continued with this journey, it just got worse. And it would have almost made me lose hope in, like, there, it's pointless. It's useless. There's nothing that can be done for this. But I had that to hold on to. And even one of my friends, who was also another targeted individual, asked me, like, how do you keep going so strong with this? And I said, because God told me he's going to heal me, and I'm holding on to that. And I said, I don't know. If that means he takes me home, then okay, I'm healed. But either way, I'm going to believe that one way or another, it's going to happen. And so as I continued on down that journey, I did all of the bloodline stuff. I was like, okay, you know, I started looking through a little bit, looking into just very little into my family history. I seen the Freemasonry, learned about Freemasonry. I was like, okay, well, I need to go through and get rid of all that. And then maybe that'll get rid of this, you know. So still, it wasn't budging. I was like, well, then I'm just going to wait on God. You know, I figured I did all that I needed to do. And as I'm waiting, I had another lady that was needing help with some stuff, and I offered to help her with some deliverance stuff. I was like, oh, I can help you. You know, I've had it myself, so I think I can help you. But we got to a point to where it was going good, but then all of a sudden, I seen what looked like a ritual going on, and nothing we were doing was helping. And I was sitting there thinking, like, there's something more to this that I don't know. Like, this isn't demons. And so I started looking into satanic ritual abuse. And when I came across certain stuff, it triggered me so bad. So that is how my journey to knowing that I had more than just the targeting started. So God had me, led me through a complete process, journey of breaking generational curses, going through cleansing my bloodline. I did this for 2 years, just bloodline and generational stuff, going, searching, getting all the information and knowledge that I could about it, because I was bedridden basically anyways. So I made it my point to do that, and then I was going to pass it along to other people as well. That was my goal. So he led me through all of that and then the programming. And I started finding stuff, your guys' stuff. Mm-hmm. I type in the weird stuff and I find Brad Ministries. And so I started listening to some of like other people's testimonies, and like it was just my whole, everything inside of me was just like going haywire. And then Wes ordered me your book. We had it on back order waiting for it. And, you know, I just got the resources off of the website that I could to use in the meantime. None of it made any sense to me, but I prayed it anyways. But then after I started doing all of that, and it was about 2 years later, all of the technology layer by layer started to get deactivated.
Wow.
Going in and removing it. So it wasn't just Morgellons. Like, and there were times where I would be feeling like I was in different dimensions.
Yes.
I could look, it'd be like looking at you, but I was seeing past the veil. Because it's almost like I could see the veil right there. Because it looked like almost like a like if you're looking through like a stained glass or and I could see past it. But I would feel myself not fully there, like I was being pulled in so many different directions. But it started with the Morgellons. I also had like nano dots underneath my arm that would glow in black light. Like it was wild, or aluminum started coming out of my pores of my skin. So it started getting really weird and really crazy. But even still, like, as I was going through and getting the technology starting to come out, there was more. It wasn't just that. It was they were still going in and able to delete certain hormones out of my body. So, like, it was all programmable matter. They could go in, upload stuff, change programmings, target certain parts of my body. So like it was a process, but it was 2 years from the time that God told me he was going to heal me and deliver me to where the technology started being, dismantled and removed.
Goodness.
I had a heart attack before. It was December and it started being removed from my body in February. I had a heart attack. That day I wasn't feeling good, which was nothing new, but it was one of a day. It was one of, seemed like one of my better days, and it was after dinner. Wes was starting a fire. We were gonna all go sit outside. Haley and Tyler were in the living room. I went and I sat down because I couldn't stand anymore. I went, I sat down, and I seen a big black orb coming at me. And I instantly knew what was coming. And I knew I had to not let fear in. I could not allow fear to come in and to remain calm. So I closed my eyes as it was coming for me. I just kept saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, over and over. And the squeeze on my heart, it squeezed so hard that I just kept on, and the kids were watching this as it was happening, and then it just released. And there were a few other smaller ones that happened, but each time I knew I could not let fear. I could not let fear open the door to what death was trying to do. So, and the next day I was out Christmas shopping, so...
Some of your story, as you're sharing it, to me, triggers like knowledge of the way that psychic assassins and witch doctors will target people that they are trying to take out a contract on, so to speak, specifically lightning strikes. This is a known method in Africa by which the witch doctors will try to kill people. They'll have the lightning do it. This actually gets into the elemental kingdom in some ways, elemental magic. and psychic assassins using theta skills and other techniques will try to stop a person's heart. Do you think there may have been some?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because I was constantly having people astral traveling into my home, poisoning
Goodness.
I was constantly being poisoned. Or things placed to bite me, like different insects. I had actually woken up one time and there was a witch standing right next to me by my bed. So yeah, it was a constant, I mean, it got worse before it got better. And so I know that that's why God told me that was, it was to encourage me to keep going. But I've always said that your will to fight has to be stronger than to give up.
That's so good.
And so that was my, I kept fighting. Even if I was going down, I was going to go down swinging. And so, and that was how I've always been.
That's incredible. 2 years. And so February, so all this stuff is coming against you, but then February comes and it's like, okay, there's a shift.
Yep. So it started with...
around what year?
It was 2018.
Okay.
Yep, February, I believe it was like February 7th, 2018, I believe is when it was that I was, the technology was starting to get removed from my body. And it took, I mean, a good maybe 6 months, 8 months for it to fully get, because there was so much.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much layered technology in my body. And so it was found, though, every time because they would try and attack me through it. So their attacking was revealing it. So we were able to go in and find what exactly it was, what they were doing, and find the technology. But they're really good at hiding it. They would cloak it with light, you know, because our bodies are light, made up of light. So they would hide it and cloak it. So it took a lot of really being strategic in going in and doing it. But it took first me having to cleanse things from the bloodline. It took the breaking the generational curses and undoing the programming to start dismantling the technology.
So some of this technology was infused in the artificial womb.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it was added to?
Yeah.
My working theory is that people will have certain things engineered into them when they are part of these programs and projects as they're developing in utero or whatever it is. And after they are born, they will be subjected to a battery of assault, which will include things done to them in medical facilities. So they'll be trafficked to hospitals, dentist offices, different anywhere that they can be put out, put under with a reasonable excuse to say, all right, there's a reason why they're knocked out for a period of time. There will be things that are put in. I think that then, in addition to that, there will be technology inserted during UFO abductions, or what people call UFO abductions. I think a lot of those are actually my labs, which are military abductions. But since the military works with grays and reptilians and other groups, there will be a mixture of human and non-human on board those craft during those operations, because these craft are actually coming from underground facilities and underwater facilities that are on planet. Also to include hollow earth facilities, and then we get into the off-planet conversation. So during these experiences, there will be more technology involved, and then we get fed this line of, okay, now that you have a child and it's past 2010, they need a battery of 40 vaccines, so we're going to just inject them with all kinds of who knows what. And then finally we added the, the big guy, just a few years ago. And, you know, so I have often theorized that vaccines have been another potential delivery mechanism by which technology has been infused into the living population on the surface that is going to interact on levels that are not being explained to us. And it creates a bit of a tangled mess on the inside of people. Thoughts?
I agree. 100%. I agree. And to like, with me, another one was the crystal meth was embedded with technology as well. So that was a whole other.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
When you tripped on crystal meth, did you ever experience things coming in from another dimension to try to weave into your body astral technology?
No, I do not remember any of that.
Okay.
I believe with the crystal meth, it was just another way to get it in, more technology in to my body. I believe to be activated at a certain time.
Can I ask if you have ever endured a UFO abduction?
Yes. I have been taken, and with me it was the Pleiadians. They have always been a regular, I've always had regular interactions with them. I would be taken to houses. From them, they would take me from their ship to what would be, and they would always carry me. I was always carried into a house. And in this house, there was a whole bunch of other people that were there, but they were wearing like these weird looking suits and had weird like weapons. And so I don't know if it was like maybe like a training, some type of like a training facility with all these other people. But then they would, I wouldn't be able to talk. I couldn't talk. It was almost like my ability to say anything, all I could do was think, and that's it. I was completely frozen from being able to open my mouth and talk. But I would also be in these rooms, and I would have given birth to big babies, Nephilim babies. And I would have to hand them off. There was always a woman standing to the side that would be there to take them. And so my interactions with them was always had to do with giving birth to those babies.
So that would make you, in their eyes, one of their breeders for the Pleiadians.
Mm-hmm.
But these babies that you had to deliver, like when you look at your physical state in the physical world, that abduction experience didn't begin with a very pregnant body.
Mm-mm. No. So for the longest time, I just thought those were just dreams. But they were just reoccurring all the time. All the time. Because, yeah, in the physical, you would not see that. So it was spiritual children.
And that's what we call spirit children, which I mean, we've been dealing with this for over a decade. I mean, all of my prayers have references to spirit children. Did you ever in those dreams or abduction experiences get introduced to these children in later stages of their development?
I wasn't allowed to.
They didn't let you?
Nope. Nope, I had no interaction with them. It was basically I passed them off, and that was it. One of my very last ones that I had, and it's wild because the technology, once it started being undone and taken out, those abductions stopped.
Look.
Yeah.
So the technology was facilitating some of the abduction activity.
It was all very connected. But the last time that it happened, not only was I handing them one of the babies, but a woman cut open my chest and took out stones. different colors of like gemstones. At the time, I didn't understand it or what it was, but it was revealed that it was my living stones. And then it goes back to the Yggdrasil tree.
I think it's time for us to talk about the Yggdrasil tree. Now, Yggdrasil is a world tree. There are many world trees, but Yggdrasil specifically is a world tree connected to Norse mythology. Mm-hmm. It's found throughout some of the Western European nations in their ancient histories. And by ancient, I mean, you know, post 700, 800 AD and onward. But Odin is a major player in Yggdrasil, king of Asgard.
Yeah.
And he's in your bloodline.
Yes.
That's what you told us in our first round. And so now we're finally at Yggdrasil. Why don't you tell us what you've learned about this thing?
So I had done the principality prayer for Odin because I seen him in my bloodline, my family tree. And, you know, to me, I thought that was strange. Like, why would they put Odin, a mythological being, in our family tree? To me, that was just weird. Mm-hmm. You know, I found that weird, but now I understand. So I had done that. So I kind of felt like I had dealt with it, you know? Well, then you had talked about it during service. And Wes looks at me, goes, "You need to deal with that." And I was like, yeah, I didn't know that there was a tree associated with it. Or a bloodline with it, you know. So I go in on Wednesday for my coaching, and I'm asked about it.
So this is very recent.
Very because recent.
I talked about that in the last series.
Yes.
We did it. I mean, as of this recording, at Bride Ministries Church, and we got to Yggdrasil towards the latter part of the pre-Adamic series.
Yes.
So this is new.
Very.
All right, talk to me.
So she was like, "So, you know, what do you think about the Yggdrasil tree?" And I was like, "About that." I wanted to bring that up. But the night before, I had a dream. I kept being chased by this really big red snake. And the snake kept trying to get me. It kept trying to kill me, but it could not. And then Wes said, "Well, I'm going to go hunt and kill that snake." Mm-hmm. And so it was just a reoccurring, the snake kept coming after me, kept failing. So I was telling my coach about that, and she's like, "Wait a second, there's a snake associated with that tree." And sure enough, she looked it up, and there it was, a red snake with the tree. She's like, "Okay, we're going there." So we went there, and we're going through the prayer. My tree was hidden within that tree. My family tree was inside of that tree. So it was like trees inside of trees inside of trees that were being held in there. And then my living stones that were removed from me were in that tree as well. And they gave me counterfeit. So through all of that, I was able to get all of that back. The trees, my family trees that was in there, my tree.
You mean, and by my tree, which you mean is tree of righteousness.
My tree of righteousness.
Which exists in the spirit world.
Yes.
Okay. It's not a little oak that's sitting in front of your house.
Yes.
Okay. This, so, for the audience.
For the audience,
I know
yes.
what you're talking about.
Yes.
And
so.
Yes.
Yes. So all of the stuff that was hijacked from me and stolen from and my family.
My goodness.
Was being hidden in that tree, and it got revealed. And then, you know, the whole thing with Thor and lightning and thunder. And so tying in with the lightning strike incident that I had, it all just started to unravel and make a little bit more sense.
Goodness. So you definitely got some freedom from Yggdrasil.
Oh, yes.
How'd you feel after that?
Oh, I felt such a weight. You know, sometimes you don't even know the weight that you're carrying around until it's gone.
Goodness.
And I felt so much freedom after that prayer and the freedom. And then also a little bit more understanding. It was just another piece of the puzzle of my story, of my journey. And so more that got revealed and exposed.
So you were in bondage, we'll call it that, to Pleiadian abductions. Mm-hmm. And that really began to taper off as the technology was coming out and then ultimately stopped.
Yes.
And that was also linked to your heritage in the Yggdrasil tree, which was generational. And you also recently got free of that. There's so much in the spirit world holding people captive and in bondage. One of the worst is Babylon.
Yes.
Did you have any problem with spiritual
Actually, come to find out that I was deceived, well, my spirit deceived into helping with building Babylon.
Your human spirit was deceived into helping build Babylon. Now, when you say that, is this recently, or are we talking about in more of an ancient...
Ancient.
Yeah. Pre-Adamic?
Yes.
Here we go again. So, go on.
And so, Babylon was hijacking because I was in partnership with it. Mm-hmm. So, I was having... Plus, you know, too, my family also in alignment with and contracts with Babylon. And so my stuff was being stolen from me. My, all of my gifts, my ruler was in there.
And by ruler, it's so funny because we start talking shop, right? Because we're bride tribe. So yeah. We just have all these terms that we, people that stumble on this podcast, we're like, what? Who rules you? And it's like, hold on, let's explain. So for those of you that are following what she's saying, essentially in layman's English, she's suggesting that her human spirit, not her soul and body that I'm sitting in front of today, but her actual human spirit created by Jesus, which preexisted her conception, was involved in building Babylon before God put Adam in the garden. And this opens up on the whole pre-Adamic reality and what it meant for her specifically. And by the term ruler, she is referring to what we would call a facet of the human spirit. Basically, it's kind of like what happens when you pass white light through a prism. It'll come out of the other side of that prism in a cascade of colors: red, green, blue, purple, yellow, orange, and those are all contained by the white light. But you can look at them as fractals, and so the human spirit has that aspect, and they map to redemptive gifts in Romans 12. Prophet, teacher, exhorter, ruler, servant, giver, and mercy. Those are facets or fractals of the human spirit. And that's what she is saying was in bondage to Babylon, her ruler.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then there was a lot of deliverance that took place with getting stuff back from Babylon, some of my inheritance that was there. My daughter, the twin, as well. So, yeah.
Goodness. You know, it's amazing how complex the tangle is that people have to overcome at this season in world history.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal. What idea? We thought our biggest problem was genetically modified potatoes.
Yes.
But yeah. It's not.
No.
Or peanuts. The peanut allergy for some people is really tough.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to talk a little bit more about the aspect of your story that deals with with the genetic modification. So we talked about a lot having to do with the technology now and how they embedded the technology. But what about the genetic modification, the engineering for certain gifts, talents, and abilities? And where do you see that playing in some of the memories you have recovered going back to childhood and then moving forward?
A lot of it is I have abilities to be able to just know things, mm-hmm. And also to like see, I'll get pictures of things in my head that just get dropped to me that stuff I should not know. Or don't really even need to know, but I will. So it's almost like what they would call like a psychic. Mm-hmm. It's very strong. With that also, I have a very high pain tolerance. And also my personality. I can kind of get along with anybody I'll also not put up with anything. So it's kind of, I could kind of blend in anywhere that I am put.
And you think they were engineering for that?
Yes. And also, too, with being able to withstand certain physical pain.
And that was, do you think that was for the trafficking agenda they had for you?
Yes. And then I also do know there is super soldier programming in there that we have not completely touched on quite yet.
Well, and by we, you mean me asking you or even in your, like,
in
journey
like my,
of healing?
In my journey.
Okay.
We know it's there because I have seen what looks like a black box.
Oh.
And I have seen it for years. And I know what is in that box. We just have not gone there yet. So
wow.
We will be getting there soon.
So we're not ready to talk about the super soldier programming yet.
Quite yet, yes. But there's a lot of things in my childhood that I didn't think about that were just really what would be like to where one of my good friends was kind of scared of me. I got hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
I got hit by a car when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood up after getting hit by a car, brushed myself off, and said, "Let's go." I said, "Don't tell my mom, my stepmom." And my friend was like crying and freaking out because I just got hit by a car. And it was like nothing to me. I just said, "Let's go." So it was things like that constantly, whether it be car accidents where I should have died or went through a windshield. I was more concerned about other things. It didn't faze me of what I just went through at all.
Well, you certainly showed the lightning bolt who was boss.
Yes.
And now you also have given me evidence of showing the car. You know, when I was a teenager and certain parts of my brain hadn't activated yet, I had fantasies in my head of showing a car who was boss. I would say things like, "Oh, I wouldn't get hit by a car. That car would get hit by me."
And that it was like, so funny.
Yeah, it is funny because I probably would have been in the hospital, but not you.
No.
Like you were actually on the other side of that, like, you know.
Yeah. She hit me, and it was on Valentine's Day.
Oh, my
which
goodness.
I find is funny. Valentine's Day, of course, you know. But it was, there was no cars. She literally came, this car literally came out of nowhere.
Goodness.
And the woman got out, yelled at me, and left. And a helicopter was doing rounds. Because it was Reno. So, you know, they always had helicopters doing rounds and checking stuff. They seen it. And so I had to tell my stepmom because all these emergency vehicles showed up at my door.
Mm-mm.
So I was just like, "Oh, yeah." She's like, "Lindsay, what's going on?" Which they never knew with me what was going on. It was always some weird, crazy stuff that they just never, they always expected stuff with me. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, by the way, I just got hit by a car." And she was like, "What?" So it was stuff like that constantly. Super freak-like things that it just didn't faze me like it should have most people.
So that would have definitely been aided by genetic modification, just like the now coming back to the psychic side of this thing, did you experience in the natural, like in your lived experience, a pull towards mediumship, tarot cards, or just providing those services as an occultist at any point in your journey?
Yes, that was very much, I was very, very drawn to that all the time. Anything that had to do with any type of supernatural, spiritual stuff, it was very intriguing to me. Actually, my and it ran in my blood, one of my bloodlines from my grandma's side. They are a line of witches.
Which grandma?
My mom's mom.
The mom? Oh.
Yes. A line of witches, to where we would borrow our cousin's clothes for Halloween, because she was an actual, she didn't hide that she was a witch.
And you would wear her clothes?
Mm-hmm. For Halloween, and yeah. And that was just natural, like normal. I didn't think anything weird about it.
Goodness. Okay. So that was very strong.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God you're not that now.
No, yeah. a lot of deliverance for all of that. So, yeah.
I want to ask you also about specifically Kabbalah, because I've seen Kabbalah show up in a lot of people. It's one of the favored programming templates by the wicked people. It shows up a lot in Freemasonry. A lot, you know, people ask, where did Freemasonry get all the names of Yahweh God? Was it from the Christian Bible and their ardent study of Christian ethics? And the answer is no. I believe it was built in from Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism. But did you run into that at all?
We actually just recently, going through some of this other worlds that we have discovered, and the pattern that it goes in, the way it's going, it actually is like the Kabbalah tree. So we have started to get into...
Wait a minute. Okay, so now let me just kind of back out of some of the worlds. So I think I'm going to ask this as a question. You have a programmed inner world, correct?
Yes.
And that is largely based on what kind of programming?
Disney.
And so there are there kingdoms inside?
Yes.
And those are different areas of the inner world?
Yeah.
Are you saying that those different kingdoms as separate areas of the inner world are mapped in the shape of the Lurianic Kabbalistic tree of life?
It's the way they're unfolding.
Goodness.
So it's gracious. Like a code. So that's what we've realized, that doing that, it's almost like we're decoding it. And once we deal with one thing, a different world opens up, and I will see it. I will see which one is about to open up, because the picture appears. Because right now I see it's the worlds, but it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get past one, the next one opened, it's a code and the way it's moving, the worlds, and how they're opening up. The way it was done was very strategic, and it's moving in a pattern like that. So my coach said we really need to go in and explore
each one. Wow. Okay, and you've explored some of them already.
Mm-hmm.
Which worlds have you discovered so far?
So the first one that started was Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
But the way that the worlds started, how it was, is that I'm going to try and do my best to explain it how I see it. In the center was the big Disney castle.
Mm-hmm.
And each world is around, and they kind of intersect with each other, how they go like this. So the first one started was, it was Alice in Wonderland. And there was a castle there with the Queen of Hearts. I had a part, was a Queen of Hearts programmed. And she was to watch over and rule over all the people, parts that were transferred to that place to be trained, or to have different things done to them, other people's parts. And inside of that castle was also, there were reptilians watching over it. So that was one that we moved into and dealt with, which was one of the biggest ones that started unlocking all the other ones. And that was the one that I was constantly watching and having things done to me. And then after that, it was Little Mermaid. And the Little Mermaid was where it was showing also Atlantis. And there's a cave where there were just like the little things, the mermaids that would go and make a deal with the sea witch and how they would look. It was revealed to me those were actually like parts of people that were trapped in there. We went in there and there was just jars and jars of essence, people's essence. But then in another area, which was connected, was the facilities that had all of the artificial wombs as well. And those jars in Atlantis were mirroring the jars in these facilities. And it was looking like, except for seeing the babies in the wombs in the jars, it was the essence I was seeing. And so they were intertwined together. And it had to do, and then it was the Little Mermaid programming that unlocked and showed all of that. And then it went into Rapunzel. And when I was 4, I was always getting my hair cut off. Every picture I've seen, I look like a boy, and I always wondered, why is my hair always so short? And Rapunzel, I seen the part, was up in a tower waiting for her Prince Charming. The Prince Charming was the Antichrist. But Jesus came as Prince Charming, and he rescued her from that tower.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, and those are the ones that we've gotten through. But then the castle in the center was also showing what was really, it was also underneath Disney as well. The rituals, the bloodshed is also a realm of captivity down there underneath Disneyland.
Now, you went through a lot in Reno. By Disneyland, are we talking about the physical Disneyland location in California?
Mm-hmm. And it was being mirrored. So there's a spiritual place and also the physical, and they interface together.
How often were you taken to Disneyland?
Underground? That I don't even know. But the funny thing is, as an adult, I wanted to go.
Uh-huh.
And so I know that there were parts underneath there that were in, looked like cages and dungeons. And other people's parts were being, I was being used as a tunnel to where they were tunneling people's parts in through me to this castle. So that had to get disconnected and cut off to stop that trafficking that was going through me for other people, and they were redirected to Jesus instead.
It's just incredible. You know, what happens in the spirit world is so nuanced and fancy. And, you know, in the old days, the assumption is, well, deliverance ministry means you cast out a demon and then the person is free of that demon. And we know the usual culprits: demon of murder, demon of alcoholism, demon of drug use, like whatever that problem is, that it's a sin cycle. That's the name of the demon, and we get it out. And there is so much more to the spirit world than that. And what you're describing is, you know, requires that a person understands the Babylonian soul trade. The Babylon, according to Revelation 18 and 13, trades in the, not just the bodies, but the souls of men. And when a person begins to understand that a fractured soul can exist and is exactly what happens as trauma causes dissociation, and that it leads to soul parts. Those soul parts can be put on trade routes in the spirit world. But those trade routes can go into and out of actual people that sit as nodes or nodal points on spiritual grids. And when you have a person that's been satanically ritually abused, part of the purpose of that abuse is to establish that person as a usable nodal point. So soul parts are legitimately trafficked into and out of other human beings, which is part of the reason why so many survivors of so many parts, they're not demons at all. They're actually soul parts of other people that shouldn't be around. And there's absolutely nothing about that idea that is anti-biblical or, you know, against what the teaching of Scripture is. It's just that a lot of us as believers haven't caught up to this part of the enemy's plan.
Yeah.
His defilement of humanity. And so that's extraordinary. And so they so what you're essentially explaining is how they used the inner world through programming to interface you with various realms.
Yeah.
Including Atlantis.
Yes. Yes.
And Atlantis is according to what you kind of suggested, a recipient of stolen human essence.
Yeah. Yeah. And I seen it, because when I seen it, you know, it was all like the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And the castle of King Triton, you know, his castle, but how he's supposed to be good. And then Ursula is bad. But it, from how I was seeing it, that castle was just the appearance of good, but was really working with evil. And so it was, everything was being transferred from what was good, the castle, to different parts of where the sea witch was.
My goodness. Where else have you experienced your essence being delivered from?
There, it has been from different planets, constellations, like Draco is a big one, Venus, Mars.
can we just talk about Venus and Mars for just a minute?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now, Venus and Mars are such interesting planets to me. The reason why is because Venus is also known as the morning star. It is known as Hesperus and Vesper, and it's also called Lucifer. It actually connects the concepts of both Queen of Heaven and Lucifer in its name and in its ancient history. It's identified by the ancients as an eight-pointed star, and way before it would have been known that Venus is the eighth planet as you come into this solar system, starting at Pluto and working your way in.
Wow, I did not know that.
When you do your history around the planet Mars specifically, it's highly connected to Nimrod, which is a type of antichrist figure, and Aries, god of war. And looking at the interaction between Mars and Venus, you actually begin to see a pattern for the twin flame theory of the occult world and the interaction between Antichrist and Babylon. One of the things that you find is, as you research everywhere that Nimrod went and built his cities, whether it was Shinar or Kalna or whatever, all these ancient sites, they are all historical strongholds for the Queen of Heaven. So for you to be put in interface with both of these planets seems to have...
the connection, all of it's just so...
Especially because you brought up the conversation around Beauty and the Beast programming and in our first conversation, the fact that you met the beast.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's just my musings. Why don't you talk a little bit about your experience with essence being delivered from these locations?
I would have, they would take parts from me, make them, take them there, and they're just sitting there waiting. It's almost like building an army with parts.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the more, and I was told, and I didn't understand it in the beginning when I started doing this on my own before I got a coach, the Lord told me I'm spread throughout the cosmos.
Yeah.
And, but he said, you know, we will retrieve every part. Like, he let it be known that he was telling me what was going on, but he also had the solution. So the more this is coming up, the more I'm seeing all these different places that I have been put, or that would take some of my parts, do more rituals to make more parts to continue to, it's like they're trying to do as much with me as they can before they can't.
They're going to regret that. I think they already are.
Yes. So it is, it's almost like an outpost of waiting.
Wow. What's the deal with Draco?
Draco, that I am still trying to figure out. It is, but I did have some of the Draconian blood line. So, yes, it was added into my DNA.
Oh, so you believe that the Draco DNA may have been one of the additions during the, let's call it, the engineering phase?
Yeah, that and reptilian. And so we have prayed and we have dealt with that. Because one of the things when I did have all the technology, my skin was starting to look very reptilian-ish. It would be rough. It would look, it would be scaly. And no matter what I would do, what I would try, you know, lotion, anything, it was very much scaly. And I believe it was because of all of that stuff was actively running through my body.
Goodness gracious. But not anymore.
No,
I mean,
no.
Because I don't see that.
No.
Like, I'm looking at your forearm, I'm like, no scales.
No. And I have pictures still of how bad my skin was. I mean, I would even wake up and I would have like where it would look like marks, like I was just like slashed while I was sleeping or slapped by something. I would have the marks on my, physically on my body.
Man. God has done a number on them.
Yes, yes.
Let me ask you this question, because we're going to close in a minute for now. I know we're going to have some future conversations as more gets unlocked and more comes out. What do you want people that are on the early part of their process to know? Like, you know, that are terrified of what they are possibly going to learn about themselves or what's been done?
Definitely that God is bigger.
Come on.
And that whatever the enemy has planned or has done, God has the solution. He has the answer, and it's going to destroy the enemy in the end. So the very weapon that they are trying to use against you is going to be used against them. And that you have hope in Jesus, that there is nothing too big that he cannot help you get through, and that you are being rooted on by heaven, by us other survivors, and that you are not alone. You are not alone.
Come on. You know, you've overcome all this stuff. Now you hang out at Bride Ministries Church. You sing on our worship team. Praise God. I'm so proud of you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
You and your whole family.
Thank you.
We are blessed to be in fellowship.
We are blessed by you guys so much. Thank you.
So, friends, for now, we are going to say goodbye to Lindsay, but rest assured, she'll be back, just like the Terminator. And she probably has a tougher punch. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.